Hey, what's up? This your homegirl Complex Angel, and I'm the Vibe.
And it's your girl Queen K. I'm the Vision.
And welcome back to another episode of Queens with Vibes and Visions. Queen K, it's been a minute since it's been just us two.
I know. God, this feels awkward. I'm used to you like, let me go ahead and add the guests in.
It's like I can say, hey, I'm sitting next to you again in class. I'm a science teacher. Well, what's the sip and tea for your soul topic tonight?
Okay, so before I get into that, I just want to say happy Memorial Day to everybody,
yes,
to all the
Memorial
listeners.
Day.
Happy Memorial Day. I hope that you guys are having a safe day. Please remember, social distancing is real. COVID-19 is still out there, so be smart about it, you know. Okay, so with that said, our topic for today is love bombing. Now, so when we got this topic, I didn't know anything about it. Like, I didn't know what it was. Complex sent me some links, you know, so I can get an idea of what it was. But it was up to me to do some research. So when we hear what is love bombing, at first we think that it's a wonderful thing. I mean, who wouldn't want to be bombarded with love? You know, we love that constant affection and, you know, just having our partner around because every girl wants time. You know, everybody wants that attention. But I found out that it's very misleading because it's actually not a good thing. Love bombing is very infectious and it feels good and you get accustomed to it. But upon doing my research, I found out that love bombing is a weapon disguised as affection by a narcissist. The end goal for them is always clear because they have something to gain in the end of it. And we think they just love us to the moon and back, but that's not the way it is for them. Love bombing for a narcissist is a way of control. They usually pick people with little dating experience or, you know, very low self-esteem. That's what I found out with love bombing. Some signs of it are, I found four signs of it, but I know it's more. The ones that I found were, if they give you like random or frequent gifts just out the blue, they always buy you something every time they see you, you know, they got something for you. That's a sign. I also seen that being constantly praised and showered with compliments, even though every girl loves that, but it's been trying to manipulate you and get into your mind. You know, if they constantly feeding to you, oh, you're so pretty. Oh, I just love you. Oh, my God, you're so good. It's their way of controlling you. They make you want those compliments. Another thing is guilt tripping. And at first I had to read up on this, and it's any time they make you feel bad for pretty much doing something that you want to do. And also positive manipulation. Like, you know how we tell a kid, oh, if you be good in the store, you get a treat when you come home. Well, narcissists use this with us as well, but it's with love. So those are the signs that I found. Complex, do you have any other signs?
Actually, let me go to my photo album, because I had to put them together just to make sure that I could get to it. But no, it pretty much stems back to what you said, you know, like they move very fast. I came across a quote on Google Images. Yep, shout out to Google guys. It says, love bombing, it's not love, it's not even in the same vicinity as love. Narcissists use this technique as a strategy. They profess their love for you rather quickly. They will say they never felt this way before, about anyone else before, and they'll post a never-ending barrage of love notes all over your Facebook profile. Now, upon my reading, you know me, I like to not spin it, but just really open people's minds. If you think about love in general, because I actually came across another photo. It was a love bombing. It was a guy that was like, you know, showing affection to a woman. And it says, what you see on the outside is you're an angel from heaven. I can't stop thinking about you day and night. I'm here for you anytime you need me. I want to take you everywhere, give you the finest things. I love you. On the reality side, It's really saying I am already addicted to you because I have a reward system that is hyperactive. It causes me to feel lust and attraction more intensely than others. I'm extremely excited by new things. This new thing is really fun. So I remember having a conversation with my cousin back when I was 23. Now, my cousin's older than me, and he was telling me back when he was in high school, one of his psychology teachers said, "Have you ever paid attention to love songs on the radio?" And she was like, "They're not really about love. If you listen to love songs, they all are about addiction." You let's see, prime example, don't come for me, Beehive. I love Beyonce, but Dangerously in Love. I am in love with you.
Girl.
I can't do this thing called life without you here. You know what? I can't do this thing called life without you here with me. You get what I'm saying? It's multiple ones. It's multiple ones. Now I can't think of them while I'm right here. But like, I just listen. Like, wow. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is very addicting. And to be honest with you, I feel kind of bad because like hearing you say the whole control thing, like, I'm a very real and raw person. I actually have been on the other side where I did the love bombing. And,
oh, wow.
Like, really, yeah, because it's like in my mind, I was trying to make a guy fit into my world because, like, I wanted to be happy. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh, he looks good on paper. You know what I'm saying? Like, let me convince him that I could be that. I was hopeless romantic. I was really trying to prove myself. And it's like, looking back on it now, I understand why he backed up. You know what I'm saying? That can be very overwhelming. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to think about it. That's not normal. Like you said, they're lavishing you with gifts and compliments real early. Okay, yes, that's fine. But saying that you don't know, like, oh, I've never had this feeling before, you don't even know me. You get what I'm saying? And, it ain't cool. It ain't cool. So, like, what's your take on that?
Well, I have never, I'm trying to think, because it's like, I probably did do the love bombing, too, now that you say that. I definitely have been a victim of love bombing.
Yes, you have.
And in both relationships, I can say that I've had, I've been a victim both times. And, you know, it starts off with the constant praises and the I love yous and the, like you said, under the Facebook posts and all that stuff. And, you know, as I look back at it now, you know, you kind of see what they have to gain. And I, like, since reading this, like, I literally stayed up, like, 3 o'clock in the morning reading different articles on this because it hit so close to home. I mean, I'm not going to go too deep into it, but both of my relationships, the person in the relationship definitely had something to gain. And their goal was to love bomb me enough to where I gave in. And I did. And I didn't know I was being controlled until it was too late and I was already sucked in.
Yeah. And, you know, it's crazy because when I was doing my research, they were basically saying, like, love bombing could come around in a cycle. Because it's like they do that to get you. They play the good listener. They play the nice guy. And then once they have you is when they slowly let the other person sneak in. You get what I'm saying? And then once they realize that you're distancing yourself, that's when they want to bring back out the nice guy. Now, I know I said I was in an abusive relationship before, but I can't really say that he love bombed me. I can't really say that. Like, he did the very bare minimum. Like, I mean, wash my car, but get mad that I didn't notice or say thank you. You get what I'm saying? But, you know, you've definitely been love bombing. And honestly, in Surviving R. Kelly, like, you know, the documentary, Andrea, his ex-wife, talked about that, like how he proposed to her but already had the wedding set up. Her family wasn't there. And it's like, in his mind, he feels like, you know, like let's segue into that if you don't mind. Like, let's segue into like how the victim feels, because the person that's doing it feels like we should be very grateful. You know what I'm saying? And they get so they get so like irritated with us. Like, oh, well, I did this, this, and that. And it's like, I never asked you for this.
They
and not
entitled.
Once did you ask me. Yeah, like, not once did you ask me what I wanted. But Andrea was just saying, like, he had the cake and everything. And it's like he has something to gain. You know what I'm saying? Like she said, he wanted to have a wife in the spotlight to basically show, like, oh, I don't like younger females. But let's just be honest. She was, like, 19. You know what I'm saying? I know that's, like, barely legal. I mean, it's legal. But it's like, come on now. We don't really.
She was still
really,
young. She was on the border.
Yeah. We don't really have self-control and, like, you know, like, when we don't really understand who we are or really start to understand stuff until we get like 25. So it was easy to still manipulate her mind, like you said. But, you know, she said, like, it was just basically to put it out there, like, I'm not into young girls. Like, it was all to, you know, basically have something to gain, manipulate the media, you know what I'm saying? But it's like once they got married, you didn't see her anymore. Like, I never knew she existed. So
I didn't either. Oh, my God.
I didn't until that reality show that came out and everything. And I'm like, she's a damn good dancer and everything, but I don't know. It's just really crazy. But it's honestly like you're not the only one that did not know about this. When I was sharing the flyer that you made, shout out to Queen K making these flyers, y'all. She's real talented out here.
I just wanted to stop and say that.
But I was sharing it with people, and they like, what is this? So I was telling them, I was showing them some of the pictures that I found. They was like, wow, this has happened to me. And I just got to say, in the Black community, we have to do better with researching what's going on because there's not, like, we don't have, like, the terms are out there, but, like, when it comes to mental illness, we are taught, like, once it has a name, we're crazy. And that's not the case because so many of us think, like you said before, that this is normal.
That is so true. It's so true.
You
and you
want to
know what is crazy? Yes, I had a question. Dang, where? Come on, Nat. Bring it back. I just lost my train of thought.
No, it's okay. But I mean, like, I just like basically, like, I didn't find out about this until my friend Joy, shout out to her. She was just on our other podcast last night talking about how trauma shows in body language. But she has shared this on her Voice Source page. And I was like, what is this? So I just started looking it up, and I was like, wow, like that's crazy. Like I would say the most I've ever been love bombed was with this guy back in Michigan that I had met. And he had, like, such a broken background. I'm not going to say, like, I've ever been love bombed. I've talked to guys that had love bombing tendencies because it's like he thought that I was such a dope person. I'm like, we've only talked on the phone for, like, 2 hours. You know, like, I would ask myself stuff like that, like, okay. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, honestly, at that time when I met him, I was just getting out of a 3-year relationship. And I was, like, just really, like, I don't really want love. I was okay. But it's like, he was like, oh, I never met someone like you before. Like, he was trying to do what I was doing before my 3-year relationship. He was trying to do, like, you know, like, just try to make me fit into his world. And I'm just, and as the victim, I used to ask myself, like, are we moving too fast? Like, are we? But it's like, being a people pleaser, I'm like, okay, let me give in and give him what he wants. Like, did you feel like that in your situation?
I definitely did. I was just about to say, being a people pleaser is a gift and a curse, you know, because you give in to the wrong things, even though you know, like, you get that feeling like, this is not right, but it's making them happy, so let me go ahead. So, in a sense, what is the word? Oh, my God, I can't believe We make it okay. Yeah, we enable. We enable love bombers. When you're a people person and you're a people pleaser, you enable the love bombing even though you know it's wrong. I mean, because knowing now that love bombing is a manipulation tool, it's just like, why did I allow myself to be manipulated?
And
like, I don't understand.
But see, that's the whole thing, though. That's part of the plan to make you feel like, I'm about to read you something. It's to make you feel like you did something wrong. Where is it at? So, It's called the Nasty Nine. Oh, sorry. I'm a very goofy person, y'all. But it's called the Nasty Nine. I'm thinking about 35 and Ticking when Kevin Hart was in the sperm bank and she was like, "You need your magazines, nasty and nasty." I'm sorry. I ain't shit. I'm sorry, y'all. Listen, go watch 35 and Ticking. So get back on track. So it says, are you or someone you know being affected by a narcissistic? Do you have a person in your life who love bombs, showers you with gifts or attention so you forgive and forget the negatives, charms to others, this person is amazing, they never show their true colors unless alone, gaslights, twists your words, tells you that you're misunderstood even when given proof, berates, demeans, belittles, humiliates, controls, like basically like it's a cycle. So then, you know, you get tired of all the gaslighting, you get tired of all the controlling, you get tired of all the berating, all the isolation, you know, they disappear. So then you set a boundary when they come back because you're tired of getting hurt. And that's when they started all over with the love bombing and the charming to blind you. So that's part of the tactic to make you question yourself, like, what did I do? As women, we don't know. And this is why I named my book No Apologies. We have to stop apologizing for shit that other men put us through because, one, everything happens for a reason. Two, you know what I'm saying, it's to open your eyes to see stuff. Like I was just saying the other day, writing this book that I wrote last year, I thought that it was going to heal me. I thought that I was going to help. You know what I'm saying? He abused me. I put it on paper. I'm healed. No, it just opened my eyes. It just opened my eyes to, like, you know, a whole bunch of other stuff that I had to look at. I had to step back and look at the whole picture. And it's like, you know, that's why we have these talks, because we don't know about it. You know what I'm saying? Like when I was in the abusive relationship and I was feeling all addicted, I'm like, why is this normal? I did research. Mm-hmm. It's normal. Like it's a narcissistic tactic. They get you with the listening stage. They're listening for the like if they give you a compliment, and you know, as women who have low self-esteem, what do? We second guess ourselves. We look away. You know what I'm saying? We don't believe it. Oh, yep. Yeah. It's loopholes. It's loopholes. But as you learn to love yourself, and it's good that we talk about this because now other listeners out there can, like, see through the bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Like, to actually understand, like, okay, you know what? This isn't love. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a cycle that has to be broken. But, no, what was you about to say? No, I'm sorry.
No, I just had found – I know what I was about to say. That the last time I said that, I forgot what I was saying. I have found out that love bombing, like, according to psychologists, love bombing was first introduced as a term referring to cults. They use this tactic in different cults to make followers. Yes, to so it was familiar with a narcissist cult leader named David. His last name is Koresh, I think. That's how it's Koresh. But he used love bombing as a method of fabricating intense loyalty from his followers. So love bombing is actually a cult word. So it's like a cult in a sense.
Yeah, R. Kelly had a cult. Crazy.
That's what made, when you said the R. Kelly thing, that's what triggered me to remember that I had read that about. I was just like, oh yeah. And that's how you get your followers. You get them to follow after you. But I also read in here that love bombing, you know, for the victim, it does turn into hate bombing.
Well, let's talk about that.
Now, okay, hate bombing, I found out, is the opposite of love bombing. It is just what it is. You hate everything because you don't know what's real. So, ladies, so me coming from a relationship where I was love bombed, okay, I'm in the stage of finding myself, but I've realized that I am a hate bomber at this moment. Like, I don't know what's real. I'm scared to go out there because I question everything. If you tell me I'm pretty too many times, it's like, okay, what do you have to gain? If you pray,
and what
me,
do you want?
Trying to bring me gifts. Yeah, what do you want? You know, what are you trying to get out of this? So that's what hate bombing is. It's just when you don't want to, you don't want to feel love anymore. You're at the phase where it's just like, it's all a game. You know, somebody's just doing this because they got something to gain. But I'm still going through the motions. I can't really express or explain how to come out of it. I don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is something mm-hmm. that I'm struggling with, like, right now, because I don't know what's real. And it's just because I've been a victim of it. So, Complex, do you have any suggestions on maybe how to come out of hate bombing?
It's understanding how hate bombing can make you have trust issues. It can make you have fear. Like I said, I don't really consider the abusive relationship that I was in. I really don't think that he was love bombing me because he did the bare minimum. But being in a relationship like that where you're getting abused, you're getting degraded, you know, he used to charm, like he would have his family thinking that it was me starting stuff. Like, you know, he was like real... Mm-hmm. Real easy to charm them, like, you know, show them a different side and not his true colors. So in a sense, when I got out of that relationship and you know, different guys was trying to come around, I didn't trust, but my mm-hmm. trust was gone. My trust was gone from like just like how low I let a man bring me down, you know what I'm saying, like how I lost myself. But I had to shift my mindset on some real stuff, because see, one thing about an abusive relationship, because like honestly, all this is part of abuse. You know what I'm saying? Narcissistic behavior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it. You know, because you were in an emotional and verbal abusive relationship. I mean, I'm sorry, verbal. Yeah, verbal abusive relationship, not physical. You were in emotional and verbal. So,
yep.
Basically, the reason why you have trust issues is because this person has made you believe that you're less than. You get what I'm saying? And one thing that I read, and which is actually true, we don't need narcissistic people. They need us. They find a light inside of us that they envy, that they want. And once you can realize that, once you can realize that the person that we thought we fell in love with wasn't who we were, it helps you, it makes it easier to realize that it wasn't a loss. It was actually a gain for you, because you could have gotten drained so much more. You have a chance to build yourself back up. And the key thing is this is why you have to, like, love yourself out there, listeners. This is why you have to really love yourself, so that once you start to know your worth, you won't keep coming across a man or a woman and keep letting them, you know, like, you know, you won't keep building yourself back up for the next person to break you back down. And, you know, the healing process is very hard, peeling back layers, because I said before, that abusive relationship was showing me, like, okay, well, damn, I've had a lot of people around me controlling me, and this is why I was so comfortable in it, because I thought it was normal. Okay, it's not normal. So you have to go inside, and you have to start looking at the root of the problem. And that's the only way that you'll be able to, you know, understand your worth and understand that it's okay to love after being hurt. It's really hard. Yeah. And nobody wants to do it. It's too uncomfortable. But in order to get to living a more normal life, you got to peel back layers. You got to shift your mindset, because it's about physical freedom, mm-hmm. but it's also about mental freedom. I just refuse to let anybody else have my mind. I refuse to let anybody else, like, you know what I'm saying, be the center of my attention. I have to be the center of my attention.
Yeah.
It's all about working on yourself internally. That's the best way to get over that, you know?
And it's crazy, because, like, when you get out of a love-bombing relationship, we pretty much been conditioned to base our self-worth off the affection of another person. So if somebody's not, we feel like we're less than or we're not loved when somebody's not showing us attention or affection. And we have to figure out really what love is, especially when we don't love ourselves. And I think that was my mm-hmm. issue, because my self-esteem mm-hmm. was at a low place even when I did mm-hmm. get into the second relationship. And
mm-hmm.
I think that's why it's still so hard for me now to come out of this hate bombing phase, because I'm mm-hmm. trying to build myself up first, you know, I'm trying to love myself, you know. And this journey, it has definitely been rocky. It ain't been the best, but I feel myself changing, but I'm still holding on, you know, that wall is still built. So my fear is that I'll never let my wall down and I'll never experience, you know, true love. And that's my fear, because I do one day want to be married, but how my mind is set up right now, I don't want it. I don't want it because I don't know if it's going to be real, you know? And I know every relationship is not perfect, but that fear of being taken advantage of or manipulated is really high for me. And I just, I don't know. I didn't know that one person can make me feel like this, you know?
No, I definitely get it. You know, I've said before that when I moved into my place, it was supposed to be a happy moment. I think after you had came to visit and then you went back home is when stuff started settling for me, like, okay, where's the celebration at? I don't have no furniture. I don't have, you know what I'm saying, like nothing that I first moved down with, I lost going back and forth with him. Like, what is the purpose of it? I was looking at it like a punishment. And I don't want to say this, guys. I'm not trying to sound judgmental when I say it. But for me, I had to look back at when I was in my low time, how many times God came through for me. And I had to look at hating myself after everything that you have, you know what I'm saying, gotten me through. It's like a slap in the face to you. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's why I say on my other podcast, I don't have a close relationship without having a close relationship with God. I'm sorry, I can't even talk. I don't have a relationship with myself because, you know what I'm saying, spiritually God is within me. You know what I'm saying? And it's like I have to love the gift that he created. And in writing that book, I found my purpose. You get what I'm saying? You're going to have dark clouds. And I'm going to say it like I said it yesterday on the podcast. When it comes to healing, we go through waves of emotions. We're supposed to go through the guilt phase. We're supposed to go through the embarrassment phase, the question phase. We get stuck on the anger part, and we don't want to process it. We just get stuck in that, and then it passes down through our children, all the hate and anger, because, hey, I never seen mom or dad, you know what I'm saying, get into another healthy relationship, so I'm going to isolate myself too. We have our younger generation watching us. And I remember someone told me before, yo, you need to be a speaker for domestic violence. Why do I need to be a speaker for domestic violence? No shade to them. I'm going to always be an ally for that, but that's not the root of the problem. I want to be a speaker for generational curses because we're getting stuck in these cycles. No one ever pays attention to that. You get what I'm saying? So you just have to, like, really, like, learn to go within yourself, because at the end of the day, everything is supposed to happen to us for a reason. We got to stop looking at it from, oh, they hurt me. No, everybody comes into your life for a reason, for a lesson. Don't look at it as a punishment. Look at it as a lesson. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
I get that.
I
definitely get that.
But well, let's wrap it up then. Huh?
Okay. No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, like, let's wrap it up. And, like, I wanted to touch on the aspect of, like, is it love in their eyes? Because, like I said before, I used to be a love bomber. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I had to realize, like, that wasn't cool. But I always used to wonder, like, is it love in their eyes? Because I've always had guys say, like, oh, well, I did this, this, and that for you. I know it wasn't the best, but it was the best that I could give. But I started, like, really looking into, like, these photo albums. Like, it was one quote that I came across, that a narcissistic person, both an empath and a narcissistic person, have trauma in their past, but a narcissistic person always identifies with the predator instead of the victim. You get what I'm saying? And I just, like, feel like after reading research, like, this can't be love in your eyes. I mean, maybe you're addicted. Yeah. Maybe you're addicted to the fact that you can get someone to do any and everything that you want them to do by lavishing them. You get what I'm saying? Like, with the R. Kelly situation, I'm going to bring it into the platform, because I know we've had mixed reviews about the situation. I've heard people say, you know what I'm saying, where was the parents at? I definitely get that.
Mm-hmm.
I hear people say he had a lot of people around him helping him. definitely not turning a blind eye to that. My perspective mm-hmm. on it is, when I was in an abusive relationship, I had people around me trying to help me get out of it, okay? I also had people mm-hmm. enabling my behavior, saying, hey, if that's who you love and if you can make it work, you know what I'm saying, do what you got to do. But at the end of the day, mm-hmm. when it comes to accountability, we are still responsible for ourselves. And I will say,
yes.
It does make it very hard. It makes it very hard for you to be responsible for yourself when you got people around you enabling your behavior. But mm-hmm. one of the victims, Azriel Clary, just came forward. You know, she's finally out the house. And she said it. She said, if R. Kelly really wanted to get help with all this money, he could have went to therapists. But he's not doing that. You get what I'm saying? Like, my thing on the parents, yes. You know what I'm saying? To sell your child, I get that. But people have a way of manipulating people, too. R. Kelly was basically telling them that, you get what I'm saying, this, and this is going to happen. And I remember being a teenager telling my mom I was one place and I really wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
But, like, what's your take on it?
I definitely get that. On the whole, you talk about on the whole R. Kelly situation, or is it love in their eyes?
Both of them.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna touch on is it love in their eyes? Okay. Now, which relationship do I want to touch on? I'm gonna touch on this last one. Okay. So was it love? I feel like it wasn't love in the beginning at all. I think it was a personal gain thing for him. But I think as the time went on, love did develop, but he wasn't in love with me. Like, he had made me fall in love with him. You know, he loved me just enough because I started, you know, doing what he wanted. I don't think he was in love with me. I just think he was in love with everything that I was given, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think he loves me? I have no clue. I still question him. I question anything love at this moment. I don't know. It just doesn't feel from the opposite sex, for me, like, the only people I know that love me that's the opposite sex is my son and my dad and my brother. Anybody else, I question it, because being hurt like that and being broken down to your lowest point, it does something to you. As far as R. Kelly goes, I feel like we don't want to face our demons. And I feel like he knew he had an issue.
Yeah.
But who wants to look in the mirror? You know? Who wants to get help? Like, I understand where Azriel was saying that that man has a lot of money. He is loaded, you know? He could have got help a long time ago. But I feel like with all the enablers around him, that's why he didn't. He had people pretty much providing a whole wedding service in a hotel room when he married Aaliyah. Really under him. Like, she was a baby, right? She was a baby, and you had these people that knew of her age and still allowed you to marry this girl. And at some point, I do blame the parents as well, because my thing is, this is a grown man, and you guys know this. You let that money manipulate you. You know, you let that fame, you know, take over and cloud your judgment. This man is sick, and he needs help, you know, instead of...
Yeah.
Putting the girl in his space, and you know he likes underage girls. No, put a therapist in his space. Give him a card to someone that can help him with his problem. Because his, like you said, it's not about the abuse. It's about the generational curses. This man was molested. So that carried on with him throughout his life. So
yeah, he was molested by a neighbor and a...
A neighbor and a family member, you know?
Family member,
so
yes.
So it's like, you got to get to the back, you know, you got to get to the backstory first. Dig up some of them generational curses, you know? And that's another thing. I'm sorry, I know this is a side note, but we need to stop telling our kids what happens in this house stays in this house. No, let these kids speak up, because we don't want other victims walking around here. Hurt people, please remember that.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
I mean,
that's my whole take.
I definitely get where you're coming from. Like, you know, he did have a lot of enablers around him. That's why I say, like, it does make it harder to want to get help when people around you are saying that it's okay. But
mm-hmm.
I'm going to just stand on this, and I know that I probably may put my foot in my mouth for a lot of people, but you were paying those people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I guess because I, you know what I'm saying, like, just being abused and just, like, hearing, like, you know what I'm saying, how they had to ask to do this. And I remember having to ask
mm-hmm.
to use my car, having to ask, you know what I'm saying, to eat sometimes. I remember having to, like, I used to be really scared, you know what I'm saying? And it's like people say, well, why won't you leave? It's really hard when your mind is controlled by somebody else.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah.
Narcissistic people have a way of manipulating everybody around them, and I've seen it happen with the guy that was abusing me. He had his mom manipulated. He had his brothers being manipulated. He had people that weren't even his family, just friends of the family manipulating. Like, they were all doing that, falling out, getting back cool. Like, he would fall out with them when they would do something that he didn't like, and then he would use his good mouthpiece to bring them back in. You get what I'm saying? Like, we still have to hold ourselves accountable, because at the end of the day, I can't take the person that was helping me fuck somebody else's life up. I can't, you know what I'm saying? Like, they not coming against me. I'm about to, and honestly, like, they karma, like, my karma is, like, we can't share the same karma. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, what you put out in the universe comes back tenfold. So tighten up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's my take
real.
On it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, I can't take you when
means,
I die.
I wasn't saying that I agree with what he did, because I feel like he should have been in jail a long time ago, you know.
Oh, no, I'm not saying
but,
you. Know, I'm saying other people, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know if the listeners probably got me confused. I mean, you know, well, got confused based off what I was saying. I was just saying, I know he guilty, right? But it is the trauma that he experienced as well, you know? And I know, you know, that might sound like an excuse. By all means, he is guilty of what he did, and he should have been in jail a long time ago. But it was people enabling him, and I feel like all those enablers should have went down with him.
Yeah.
It shouldn't just be
definitely.
Him locked up, because they knew about it. The one that's sitting on that show, Surviving R. Kelly, all those people that knew about it should be in jail with them. That's how I feel.
Yeah. Most definitely. Oh, trust me. I'm not even saying you. I'm just saying, like, people, like, you know, because I watched the impact on it. After the first one, they did a documentary on, like, the impact, and it's like people, oh, they just want money and stuff like that. I'm just saying, like, no one ever really points at the person that did it. A lot of people played a part, and a lot of people do need to do jail time, but he's sitting in jail so that he won't be the abuser. I think that there still may be repercussions for them once this trial happens. That's my take on it.
Really?
You already know.
Okay.
I feel like he's about to get the snitching. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying. Like,
oh, yeah.
That's my take on it. It's a very controversial conversation. And trust me, listeners, me and Queen K talked about this. Like, do we really want to touch on this? It may be people out there that do not agree. It may be people that agree with some things that we're saying. I'm not saying that. And I'm pretty sure Queen K's not saying that, you know, like, oh, we agree with what he did. I understand that you've been through trauma. We all have stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you're identifying with the predator because you're scared. You were at a weak moment.
Yeah.
And you want, you know what I'm saying, like, you don't want to be in that situation anymore. And that's why I was looking at it from that aspect. I'm not saying that this is love in their eyes, that it's okay. No, any victim out there that's going through this, it's not love. I'm telling, you know, people out there that's doing this, get your shit together. It's okay to look at yourself. I understand that, you know, it's hard to look at yourself in the mirror and realize that you're the problem. But I'm just saying, please, try to change your ways. Because one thing that you don't want to do is see this karma come back in your kids. That's like you just, I can't imagine. I couldn't imagine shit that I did, my kids going through that. I'm just saying, like, and I care about my karma too. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, like, you get your shit together, because this shit, it ain't gonna take the pain away. And that's what it is at the end of the day. We're doing a lot of shit in this life to distract ourselves from pain. That shit's not going to hurt people. And that's why your life is gonna always keep having these, you know what I'm saying, like, always keep having these fucked up situations, because what you put out is what you get back. That's all I'm saying. Didn't mean to preach. I'm
so
sorry.
Tighten up, everybody. You better take your time, Pastor.
We are responsible for our own ways. With that being said, we're going to segue into Am I Less of a Lady?
All right.
We ain't had this segment in a minute.
Look at us.
Okay.
Yeah, here we go. We back.
Right, y'all. Yo, okay. So, some shit happened. Some shit happened earlier this week. I had got my hair done, you know what I'm saying, because I got tired of looking like I just got tired of looking like who shot Jonathan, got to kill him. So, you know, somebody was posting on Facebook that they got their hair cut. And, you know, they was like, dog, like, you know what I'm saying, I'm feeling really good. So I love the picture. And I'm like, you know what I'm saying, because I felt that. I felt like, you know, you want to look good, like, you know what I'm saying. But then I thought about it, like, this person is married. Did I just fuck up by loving it? So my question is, am I less of a lady if I think loving another man's picture or status and he's in a relationship, that may start some shit? Like, basically, I'm trying to figure out, when the fuck did emojis, like, have meaning behind it, and why do we look so much into it? Shit.
I think, okay, so I don't think it makes you less of a lady, because you don't know what type of wife or girlfriend he has. Because my thing is, some girls would be like, yeah, okay, sis, I see. Girl, I was waiting on him to clean up too, you know. But then there's some women like, well, who is she? Why is she loving your picture? It's different based off of the reaction that they're going to get. You know, I feel like, I don't know why we put so much thought into emojis. I just think that they're up there, you know. Hell, I mean, I just use them, you know. I don't think about why I use them, but, like, when you had brought them to my attention, I'm like, well, dang, is that going to get me in trouble? Because I know I put hearts on a lot of male friend posts, but they have women. I mean, the women don't never say nothing to me, so I feel like, okay, that means that woman is secure, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But you do have the ones who, I mean, go ahead.
No, keep going.
I was just about to say, you do have the ones who do read too much into it. I just feel like we've given too much meaning to the little stuff. You know, we're looking at little things. No, my thing is, okay, so if his girlfriend took that, or wife, I'm sorry, if his wife took that in a negative way, that means she needs to look at something that's going on in their relationship. So every little thing.
Wait, no, she didn't. She didn't.
Okay, oh, then she
didn't. I'm just saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. She didn't. I'm just saying, like, in a general perspective, because I thought, like, oh shit, like, wait, I don't know if I should have loved that, but I'm like, why do I think like that? I've been on that side before, though, where, you know, I was in a relationship, and it wasn't love, because it's like, I will call you, you don't answer, but you're on Facebook, but, like, you know, them hard eyes, the blowing the kiss, like, Facebook and emojis fucked us up, okay? Like,
yes, it did.
And you're right, I wasn't secure at that moment. I was very insecure, but I'm just saying, like, We do read too much into emojis. We read too much into emojis.
We gave it too much power. Like, they just supposed to be little fun things, you know, little cute things. It started out for kids.
Exactly.
Now we using them. So it's just like they didn't have that much meaning with kids.
Like, I really wonder, the little squirt, little water drops, is that water drops or is it what we made it? You know what I'm saying? Like eggplant.
Sure,
eggplant used to just be a vegetable, and we took it and we made it for burgers. You get what I'm saying? Like, we done fucked up. I'm just saying, we done fucked up.
We done messed up the church's money, girl.
But
that's,
yeah, I mean, like,
that's us black people. We all, you know, we always got to put our own spin on something.
Yeah, like when you, like texting. Don't write in cap locks. You yelling at me. What? I'm trying to make sure you
girl.
See it. Like, my font is small. Shit, I can't see the shit. I don't get it. I swear, like, because of...
I ain't even gonna hold you up. That's me.
Really? I don't know.
That
I just feel
me.
Like because of all this...
I feel like I'm arguing, I will cap lock everything.
I mean, I don't know. I just feel like because of this sensitivity, it's like I be having to watch
mm-hmm.
what I say. Like, I have to... When I send an email at my job, I proofread it. I read it one time to proofread it to make sure it sounds professional. But then I got to reread it to make sure I'm not coming off offensive because it's just like, damn,
yeah.
like when did words and emojis have tones and meanings to them? Like, okay,
mm-hmm.
my grandma always told me to put cap, like when you're, she said when you're sending something, put the subject in cap locks because people get a lot of emails and they'll miss something. So I do that. And it's just like,
yeah.
you ain't got to yell at me. I see your message. What? I'm just, okay. All right.
Okay.
So,
my bad.
Yeah. I was just trying to make sure. But, yeah. So, well.
Girl.
That's my question. Mm. Yeah. But did you,
no,
did you want to say.
Of a lady, girl. You all right. Yeah, we're
going
to segue into the glowing business of the week.
Yes.
This is a new segment. Okay, so it was glowing tips, as some of y'all know, but we're going to do glowing businesses where we're going to speak on one business. Each of us will speak on one business for the week. You know, you guys check them out on Instagram.
Black-owned businesses.
Facebook, all that stuff. Black-owned businesses. We have to support each other. Let's come up in this world.
Mm-hmm.
So mine is, okay, so I have two.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, I got to make sure I find it because I want to make sure I put y'all in the right direction.
Ain't that something? She said we're going to come with one and she's trying to upstage me.
See, ain't that something? I know, but only reason why I did two was because I wanted to make sure, because I had plugged one on like two episodes ago when we had my older sister on, Shakita. And I just want to make sure I let you guys know. So if you are in the Detroit, Redford, Southfield, Taylor area, she does cook. Her name on Facebook, you can find her at Nooka's Little Kitchen. Her salmon Alfredo with homemade Alfredo sauce. Y'all, I'm telling you, it's like life. Like, I'm not even holding y'all up. The other one is a guest that we had on. Her name is Natalia King. Y'all can find her under the Rich Collection.
Whoop, whoop.
She sells hair.
Yes.
She do the
eyelashes.
TLC, the NutriBrush. She do clothes. She got lashes. Y'all check her out. When I tell you the definition of a hustler, this woman is
mm-hmm.
bomb. Check her out. Y'all can find her on Facebook, Instagram, under the Rich Collection. She also has a website, therichcollectionco.com. Check her up. I'm telling y'all, you won't just be disappointed in her. She has everything you need, flip-flops, pajama sets, one-pieces, lashes, bundles. Check her up. She good.
All right. So my glowing business of the week is please go to leosense.com. Sheena is the one who have made it. She makes homemade soy candles and shea butters. She's in the process of doing oils for beards. She's really dope. The reason why she came up with Leo Sense, her brother, who was a Leo, and his nickname was Leo, passed away. I'm not sure if he passed away. I'm not sure how he passed, but this was in remembrance of him. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, to,
mm-hmm.
like, have his memory live on. And, you know, of course, I support because I'm a Leo. But it's really good. Her black raspberry vanilla candle, oh, my God, it's so good. It's soy wax. Instead of you,
okay.
like, you know what I'm saying, usually when you touch wax, it'll get all hard and you got to peel it off. This is actually, you can use like a moisturizer, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's definitely good. And she was like, how did you find that out? I said, because I'm the person that likes to pour wax on me and like peel it off and I couldn't do it. I'm like, I'm a very curious person, curiosity. But, please go to leosense.com. She is located in Philadelphia. She doesn't travel nationwide, but she does ship. But she does like to go travel to drop off at places. I've been to her. Sheena, I need some more candles. Like, oh my gosh. Like, and
Sheena, I need some too.
The biggest thing about it, it disguises the smell of weed. Beautiful.
Oh, look at this.
Beautiful. I'm just being honest. So,
before we get off this glowing business, I got one more. I'm sorry. I said I was going to plug this one. Detroit area people, she does travel. Peasy Punch, okay? All your drink needs, from margaritas to weed, Kool-Aid, anything you need, she got and she can make in a drink form. Hit her up on Facebook, Princess Matthews. If you're in the Detroit area and you're my listener, I'm telling you, I had about 4 pouches, really good. She do all different types of drinks. She's really good. But
yes.
Shane, I need
a hand. Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. Also, go follow Leo Sense on Instagram at leo.sense, S-C-E-N-T-S. I'm telling you, she got a new, she also just messaged me the other day, because, you know, she know I'd be looking, she was like, girl, I got a new flavor out, what is it, it's the Hawaiian, it looked like pineapples, girl, Hawaiian Splash and Festival Night, oh, yes, I'm telling you.
Okay.
So good, so please, and those are our glowing businesses of the week. Now, okay. Before you segue into Ayo Queens, listen up. I got something to say. I got to get something off my chest, okay?
Come on.
I said I wasn't going to bring it up tonight, but I got to bring it up. I was scrolling the other day, and I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting older, but it just really bothers me to see kids at a certain age having Instagram and like social media pages. I don't know. It's like the world is just such a crazy place. And like, you know, like, okay, the person that I seen was Chris Brown's daughter, Royal. Now, I know with Chris Brown, I know he got security. I know he got security with her. But I'm talking about these kids that live in the inner city areas, or the kids who have parents that are working all these shifts, you know what I'm saying, like essential workers and stuff, they're not getting supervised. And I remember when I was young, 13, I used to be doing some stuff that I wasn't supposed to do on the internet. So, like, you have kids, Clint K, how do you feel about that? Like, I don't know. It's like it's something I wanted to get off my chest. Like, I just be really, I'm really scared for the younger generation these days.
Yes. And I feel like technology and all this social media is the downfall to our kids. Now, my kids, okay, so they are not allowed to have any social media at all. My daughter, she does do little TikTok videos, but I'm right there. I'm right there, and not only am I right there, before she can post or upload any video, I'm monitoring. They can't even watch YouTube without my permission, and I got all types of parental codes on there. Because my thing is, when you give a kid a social media account, it's predators out there that look for little kid pages. And then what? Mm-hmm. How will we protect them when they're in their room and we're outside? They're gonna get exposed to stuff like that. Like, it's crazy that you said that, because it was a story that I was watching, and it was on, I forget where it was at, but anyway, a little girl had a social media site, and this dude kept texting her. And mind you, she was like 12, so she kind of knew the game. You know, she had parents that told her about older people, but he started off real nice, like, hey, you know, what's your name and all that stuff, and she telling him all this information, where you stay at. She telling him all this information. She didn't give her address, but she told the general area where she stay at. And he's like, well, I want to be your friend. And then he sent in her pictures. Now, this girl, she was smart, because she went straight to her dad. And her dad contacted this fella. But his other kids are not like, you know, that don't think to tell somebody or don't have anybody to go tell. So then how are you going to protect them from people like this?
Yep.
So I feel like kids should not have social media pages. It's just too much. It's for grown people now. I know that probably sounds bad, but it is. It's a grown people thing. My thing is, you have to be 18 to make an account anyway. At least that's what I thought. So my thing is, so these kids are lying about their birthday. The person that's creating the account is lying about these kids' birthdays.
I mean, we used to do that too, but it's like it's just so much more stuff that you're exposed
so
to. Like, you got to think about it. Back in the day, and I hate saying that because I sound like my grandma now, but really, back in the day, back in the day, we didn't have all this access to these celebrities. We didn't. Like, you weren't able to go on a live and listen to somebody. And it's like, it's so much more. Like, we're seeing people actually get killed. I mean, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, on TV now, like, real life TV. Like, you know, back in the day with the news, you didn't hear about the murder. Like, you seen, like, you know, the body on the ground, like, but they never showed the killing up to it. Like, you know, with the guy, I think it's Ahmaud Arbery, the one who was running. You know what I'm saying? Like, I watched that video, and I'm like, I watched it, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, I remember YouTube didn't let you put shit like this up there. What is going on?
Exactly.
Like, everything is crazy. It's crazy. I'm telling you. It's like, it's just too much. It's too much at, like, you know, at these kids' hands nowadays. Like, my nephew knew what a condom was at 8 years old because of the condom challenge.
Girl, and you want to know what? Like, these kids, they grow up idolizing these celebrities, and then, like, when you get on some of their lives, smoking weed, twerking, drinking, so these kids want to do that. And these are, like, 8 and 9 year olds. Like, it's like, no. I mean, granted,
because
the kids
they idolize
didn't even listen to the music in the first place, but... It's just like they want to be them, and it's just like we're just saying, here you go ahead, because I'm sorry. That's at the end of the day, when they have a social media account, that's what we're telling them to do. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
so, we got to get better. We got to get better. Girl, but I got something to say, too. Since you got that off your chest, I'm going to get something off my chest.
Uh-uh.
I said I was going to hold it in, but I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just hate when the support is one-sided. Like, I'm all for people. I will support the hell out of you, your family, anything you got. I'm your biggest cheerleader. I'm there at every event. I'm buying any product. I'm there. But the moment I feel like I have something that's near and dear to me, I don't get the same support in return. Now, you and my sister and another person, my God, baby, all told me the same thing, pretty much, you know, don't feed into that. Only, you know, surround yourself by your supporters, you know, just think about them, praise them, and I thank them, right? But it just hurts because the people that I feel like should be supporting me don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't ask for much, you know. I don't ask for much at all. I like to do stuff on my own. But it's just like if I'm doing something that I'm passionate about, like, for instance, I'm going to say it, this podcast, this is something that I'm very passionate about. Like, I thank Complex almost every day for bringing me on to this because she just doesn't know how much she saved my life and how much she's changing me by just putting this together. So I feel like I should get support.
You helped her, but thank
you. You know?
Yeah.
But it's not the same, you know. I don't get the support that I thought, or I didn't receive as much support as I thought I was going to get, and it just hurts. That's all.
No, I was going to say, like, you help out a lot with this podcast too. Like, this was like a mutual decision to make, you know what I'm saying? And we took it serious, you know what I'm saying? Like, honestly, like, you're the one who created the flyers, but you know, this is my baby too, because I get to bring more of my woman side out. And honestly, you're entitled to feel how you feel because you do go to the ends of the earth for a lot of people. You get what I'm saying? And but this is the thing. This is how you know that God is calling you into your purpose, because new levels bring new devils. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
He's exposing in your life who's there for you and who's not. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I was going through the situation that I was going through, I had a friend that I've known since middle school. You know what I'm saying? Like, whenever, like, we had, like, a very rocky friendship. You know what I'm saying? We did, like, a lot of falling out because it was like we were two strong-minded people trying to understand each other. And it's like I really did care about her as a friend, but I didn't see a lot of the toxic ways. I would say that we were very toxic to each other, but Mm-hmm. When I wrote my book last year, and you know, I was trying to get the branding out there. I was trying to get people to follow my hashtag. Please follow that hashtag. No apologies for being real with the four, number four. Anyways, just saying. You know what I'm saying? I was trying to have her, you know, support, and she kept saying, "Oh, I'll do it. I'll do it." She never did it. You get what I'm saying? And that had to be my wake up call. Like, you know what? I had to look at a lot of stuff, a lot of uncomfortable things. Yeah. I had to look at times when I thought she was really being there for me, but she was also being messy at the same time. And I had to cut ties with that. You know, I'm telling you, God opens our eyes to see the real in people. And it's up to you if you want to continue to, you know what I'm saying, deal with it or not. But I say, like, if you're going to deal with it, you got to let that person know. Like, if you're going to rock with them, you got to let them know, hey, I feel like you don't support me. But if, you know, you want to be at peace with it, ask God to give you strength to be okay with closing that door.
Yeah.
Thank
you.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to get there. Well, all right, let's get into that A.O. Queens Listen Up quote.
Alrighty, so I have two queens and kings. So the first one says, oh, and this is sponsored by Pinterest, my favorite. Y'all know I get everything from here. If it's not from here, it's from Facebook or it's from the Bible app. So this one says, we fall, we break, we fail, but then we rise, we heal, we overcome. I like that a lot because it's just saying don't stop. When you fail or you fall, get back up. Try again. Aaliyah said it best. Pick yourself up and try again. Do it. I'm telling you. It'll help. My next one is you're healing and that terrifies them. They've never met a queen who can break several times and put herself back together using nothing but self-love. Strengthen that self-love, ladies. I'm telling you. Queens is the best thing because you can piece yourself back together. You don't need anyone to piece you together. You can do it yourself. Just spend time with you and God, and I'm telling you, he'll give you the tools to make, you know, to make your picture whole. I'm serious. So just those are my two. So with that said, we're going to get into the no apologies thought complex. What is it?
All right. No is the new yes. Okay, people pleasers out there, empaths, you know, this is definitely for you. Yes, people, this is definitely for you. Yesterday we did the podcast, and, you know, on the Let Your Light Shine moment, we had Joy, the guest. I was asking her what's some self-love tips that she does, and she was saying that, you know, she's learning to spend quality time with herself, you know, for like 3 hours out the day, because she used to be a person that would say yes, 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 and then get frustrated that she didn't know how to say no because people would guilt her. No is a way to set boundaries. Telling people no helps you to see who respects your boundaries and who does not. We are people pleasers. We are empaths. We are yes people. But at the end of the day, running for other people will run you out, and you'll resent people for not letting you have time to find out who you are. And it's time for us to start saying no. No is the new yes. We have to learn that we can't help anybody else until we get ourselves together. You can't pour from an empty cup. You know what I'm saying? I can't give you missing puzzle pieces, you know what I'm saying, because I'm just feeling incomplete. So don't be afraid to say no. Set that boundary. And if a person that you thought rocked with you can't respect it, hey, don't look at it as being hurt. That was a way of opening your eyes to see, yeah, you know what? You're not meant to be in my life. It's time for us to stop being around people that we think that we've known our whole lives, that we owe them something. No. Like, people come into our life for a reason. In a season, and I feel like we've been kind of holding on to that season a little bit longer than we should have. So, with that being said, that's my no apology thought. With that being said, I'm
like
Complex Angel. I'm the vibe,
and I'm Queen K. I'm the vision.
All right, peace and love. We out.
We out.